Glad I made it to 27. Isn't God good? He's amazing. If you're visiting today, could you just give me a wave? Put your hand up. Church, everyone with their hand up, could you see their hands? Right. Church, I would like you to raise your hands towards those people with their hands up. Father, we ask today that this will be a very special day. A blessed day. A day, Lord, that they will never forget. A day, Lord, when you pour out your spirit upon every one of them. Lord, you will speak into their hearts and you will bless them real good. That this was the day in history that we celebrate. For you did an amazing job. So bless them, Lord, real good today. Amen. Amen. Do we have our picture of our tomb? Whew, dear me. Is the heating still on? Just turn it up another few notches, that's fine. Does anybody know what that is? The garden tomb. Anybody been there? Put your hands up. So, east of Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, near the Damascus Gate, as you come out the Damascus Gate and you walk up your way through the Arab Center, you will come to this place called the Garden Tomb. The Garden Tomb is where many people believe that Jesus was placed when he was taken from the cross. Now, I actually believe it is, and I'll tell you for why, because they've found a number just lately of archaeological digs that prove that it would have been more than likely the place where Jesus was put in a tomb when he was taken from the cross. It might not be, but certainly in Jesus' day, it would point to that. It's the garden of a very, very rich man. So I personally believe it is, but it might not be. But that's the kind of tomb that Jesus would have been put in. And at the front there, in the entrance, that one's slightly different because there was an earthquake and they built part of it up with bricks, repaired it. But in the entrance there would have been a big, big stone. I've got a question to ask you. I want you to shout out to me, please. When you look at a tomb like that, what do you see? What do you feel? Shout out. Darkness. Who said that? See that hand? Well done. See you, Emmanuel, afterwards. Anybody else want to shout out? Sorry? How did he roll that? I tell you, it's a big stone. It's a big stone. Any other thoughts? The door's open? Yeah, that's a good sign. What does that tell us? Oh, empty tomb. What else does it tell us? He's alive. He's alive. Is he?
Yeah, of course he is.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm right.
I don't think you really know, do you? Are you sure? Okay. What else does it tell us? Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute. You just have to wait now. Now, the tomb, it's a place of death for many people. We've probably all experienced, maybe some of the younger children, the younger ones, maybe have not done, but we've all experienced going to a funeral service, haven't we? We've all experienced a place where I had so many hopes and dreams. Lots of questions, what ifs, if only. It's a place of despair. It's a place of depression. It's a place of, is there any hope? But I want to tell you, in a tomb similar to this, if not this one, death does not end there. Death has not got the final call on life. What happens is this. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, new life begins. In Hebrew, in the beginning, there's a Hebrew word in there called Bereshit. And in the beginning, when you read Genesis, in the beginning, God had already got in plan, in his diary, the day of new beginnings. And Jesus rose on the Sunday after Pentecost. And that date in Hebrew, he's fine. That day in Hebrew is called the Reshit. Can you say it? Which is a new beginning. Listen, you hear nothing else today, you can have a new beginning in your life. You can forget the past. You can leave it in the tomb. And you can jump out of that grave. There is hope today for everyone in this room because of Jesus and what he's done. This is where faith begins, in the tomb. Maybe today your faith journey is just going to start. Faith is going to start. There's a seed that's going to start in your heart. And I tell you what, you may not have danced today, but next Sunday, whoa, you're going to be up here in competition with Sean. Well done, mate. Good news begins in the tomb. The message of salvation begins in the tomb. Now, the disciples, their world had turned upside down. That week had been the worst week of their life. They were completely broken. They were distraught. What have I done with these last few years? We had hoped that Jesus was going to restore the kingdom, and he's dead. What on earth is going on? And they were broken. These were like people like you and me. Okay, we read them in the Bible. They were people that at times felt depressed and down and in despair. They were not superheroes. I better be careful what I say, Esther, about superheroes, before you start laughing. They didn't understand that the greatest day in history was about to be unveiled. They'd missed it. They'd missed what Jesus was going to do in their grief and their despair. And some of you, don't miss out today on what Jesus wants to do in your life. Because of problems, because of circumstances, because of things that are happening. Today can be a very special day for you. A day of new beginnings. But all that was about to change. Because Jesus steps out of the grave. And he meets his disciples. Now, some people said, you know, they were so distraught that they just imagined Jesus was there. They all hallucinated. It's called the hallucination theory, that they were in so much grief that they just believed he might have been there. They saw him. The first resurrection appearance was to Mary Magdalene, then to the other women, then to Peter, then to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, then to 10 disciples. Judas has died at this point. He's killed himself. Thomas, who's got no faith, isn't with the rest of the people. But Jesus appears to the 10. Then Jesus appears to the 11. Thomas is there. Then he appears to 7 by the Sea of Galilee. Then to 500 people, which is an outstanding proof of his resurrection. Then to 11 disciples when he's taken up into heaven. The resurrection appearances prove that Jesus is who he said he was. Their lives were completely transformed. What else could take a bunch of broken people who have no hope into a people that will go into all the world, and by 49 AD had gone to the whole of the Roman Empire as was known, and by AD 61 had gone to the shores of China? What else would account for that? It was the face-to-face appointment that Jesus had with everyone. Can I tell you today, Jesus has a face-to-face appointment with you. He loves you. He wants you to know he's alive and well. Thank you. He's still on the throne. And he loves you so much, he's here today to tell you, I love you. Come out of your grave and come and dance along with me. Let's dance together and let's do life together. Hallelujah. Luke 24, 44 to 47. Jesus is going to explain to them why Jesus had to suffer. It's going to be a light bulb moment. Have you ever had those light bulb moments? You're like wondering about things and all of a sudden the light comes on and you go, oh, I've got it. I understand now. Look at this verse, Luke 24. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand scripture. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name of all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." If you're struggling to understand, just humour this mad pastor who danced on the stage and probably will not be able to walk. Put your hand on your head. Father, I pray for every one of us in this room. We'll have a light bulb moment right now. That you will come and you will reveal to yourself exactly who you are for everyone in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you." Sometimes when people are with us, they say many things and we forget. Jesus told the disciples what was going to happen. He gave them advance notice. Do you know today, millions of people are affected by the resurrected Jesus, by that tomb? Millions. 7 billion people will follow Jesus. Do you know today, thousands of people across the world, and some have already done it because they're already up before us and they're having their services, have said, "Light bulb moment, I want Jesus." 46,000 people will give their life to Jesus at least today. 46 people will have a light bulb moment. We go, "Oh, he is who he said he is. Wow." On the streets of Bromsgrove when you went out, some people had some light bulb experience. They're going to the Alpha. Father, we pray for those people that are going to go to Alpha in Bromsgrove. We pray, Lord, that they will go and they'll attend and they'll get saved. And for our Alpha course, ditto. In 1899, there was a great evangelist. If you want to study evangelism, look at D.L. Moody, American evangelist. Amazing man of God. In 1899, he is going to go to be with Jesus. He's on his last few hours, and all his family are surrounding him. And they're spending time looking after him, and there's just the daughter and the son. And then from nowhere, D.L. Moody says these words, "Earth is receding, heaven is opening, God is calling, this is bliss, this is glorious." Emma, do you know what his daughter was called? Is there a clue in that name? Emma. Emma goes, "No, you can't go. I need you on this earth with me, Dad." Starts praying, God heal him. He goes, "Emma, stop. Stop praying that. God is calling. This is my coronation day. If that happens to me, don't call me back. It's my coronation day. I've been looking forward to it." Listen, you don't need to fear death. You can look forward to it. You might not die. Jesus might return. But you don't need to fear it. And so many people fear it. The hymn that they sang at his funeral, it was packed. It says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" I've had the privilege of taking many funerals, hundreds and hundreds of funerals, and I've sung that hymn at a fair few. You do not need to fear death. Why? Because Jesus has conquered the grave. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, he says these words, "Everyone who follows me will be raised to new life. Though you may die, you will spend eternity with me." And I'm looking forward to seeing my mom in heaven and my dad and people from this church that have gone before that get in their places ready. And when we arrive, I think they'll welcome us in. So after the resurrection appearances of Jesus, the disciples then watch Jesus ascend into heaven. Let's put the next scripture up. This is a place called Bethany. Bethany, as you come through Bethany, you look over down the Mount of Olives and you will see Jerusalem. When people came to see Jerusalem, they saw Jerusalem as they came in through Bethany. And Jesus is with his disciples. He calls them to see this miracle that he's going to do. He led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And what did they do? Can't speak it out. They and return to Jerusalem sad. With what? Great joy. You've got somebody called Great Joy next to you. You're going to return today from this place with great joy. And then watch Jesus ascend into heaven. And Jesus says to him, guys, I need you to do me something now. I need you to go and tell everybody about who I am. I need you to go on the streets of Redditch and Bromsgrove and where you live. I need to tell them that Jesus is alive and well. Tell them what you've seen, the miracles, the blind eyes, the deaf, the dead. Raised. Tell them. Tell them that I'm the Son of God. Tell them what I said, that you can't come to the Father unless you come through me. Tell them that I can forgive sins. If you need your sins forgiven today, he's the great forgiver of sins. If there's things in your past that you regret, that you think nobody knows, and I don't want anybody to know, he's the one that can forgive you. He's the only one that can forgive you. And he showed he could forgive sins because he raised people from the dead, or he made them well. Only God can do that. He's either God or he's not. You have to make a choice. You have to say, I believe he's the Son of God, or I don't. Jesus doesn't say, well, maybe when you get to heaven, I'll see how you live your life. No. You have to make a choice while you're on the earth. If you don't make the choice on the earth, when you get to heaven, he'll say, I'm sorry, I don't know you. What's your name? Jesus died to set people free from their sins and their past. To give us a new hope and a future. If you want it, you can have it. It's free for you today. Jesus said many great claims. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One of the claims he made. Jesus taught that he was coming back for all those who follow him. And he's teaching his church to be ready for his return. Wake up! Church. Church is asleep. Oh, I can't wait for my Easter Sunday roast. When's he going to finish talking? Wake up, church. We've got to wake up. Our churches are asleep in this nation. They've got to rise up as an army and say, Jesus is alive and well. I know him. He's transformed my life. Every one of you got a testimony here. Mark chapter 13, 26. In this calendar that God has set, one day, God the Father is going to say to the Son, today's the day, Son. Get the angels. Get the mighty army. We're off to heaven, off to earth. Today's the day. And he's going to return in the same place that he went. And we have to be ready. Mark 13, 26. This is what Jesus says. He makes great claims. You either believe him or you don't. You make a choice to believe him or you say, I don't believe you. Your choice. We live by them or we die by them. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Listen, he's not going to come as a mild, meek and mild man when he returns. He's coming with a mighty army. Mighty warrior. He will fight. He will take the kingdom, the keys of this world from all power and authority. If Putin's alive, he'll go to Putin. He'll just breathe on him and whoosh, he's gone. He'll take the keys of this world. All authority, every power will bow the knee to Jesus. And he'll go to the Father. Yeah, Father, he's the keys. I've done what you said. Everything you've told me to do, because Jesus came to obey the Father, not to build his own reputation, because he was a man without any reputation. He gave up his reputation for the sake of you and me. He gave up everything for you and me because he loves us. He laid down, he came from heaven to earth, and he gave everything up so that he could save the world and save you and I, so we have a hope in the future. So when we leave this earth, which is so temporary, when we get to heaven, we're going to spend eternity with him. Jesus makes these claims. There are over 250 references in the Bible to what we call the second coming, where Jesus returns. Over 250. Do you know why? Because sometimes we're a bit thick. And we read something, we don't get it. So Jesus says, oh, and by the way, I'm coming back. Oh, and by the way, I'm coming back. And the prophet says he's coming back. And now if Jesus said he was going to be raised from the dead, and he was, And he says he's coming back. What does that tell us? He's coming back. In the New Testament, you will find a Greek word called apocalypse. We all think of the apocalypse of where the whole world is destroyed. That's not what it means. Apocalypsis means revelation. And what it says is this: when Jesus returns, every eye will see him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Everyone. Whether you do it now or later, you will. I'm sorry, it's going to happen. So do it now. Much easier. A bit like when parents said to the kids, why don't you just do it now? Clean your bedroom now, and then you can enjoy the rest of the day. And if you don't clean it, when I come home, you're going to be in trouble. Isn't that right, John? Lucy says, when your dad comes home, get that bedroom done. Listen, when Jesus comes back, time out. Finished. You don't get a chance to say, I'm really sorry, God. Every eye will realize, he is the Son of God. I got it so wrong. And you know, if you're in this church and you don't know Jesus, and I go to heaven, I want to get there before you. You can't come to me and say, Robin, can you let me in? Because as much as I'd want to let you in, because I love you, I don't have the entrance keys. What about the story of Noah? Noah built the ark. He waited a long time for that rain. People said, what rain? What's rain, Noah? What are you building that ark for? Are you stupid? Until it rained. And God closed the door. And as people drowned in the flood, oh yes, it happened. It's not a fairy tale. It happened. Noah and his wife and his family are watching people die. And they're going, Noah, let us in. We knew you. We sold you fruit. And Noah's going, I can't let you in. I can't let you in. Jesus is the only one that has the keys to let you in. You need to know him. This tomb talks about this. When Jesus returns, it will exceed anything that's happened in history. Now, we see some terrible things on the telly, and I know some of us, we don't watch the telly because it's so bad. I can't watch it, it's so bad. Let me tell you, when Jesus returns, it will be nothing like when he returns. It will exceed anything this world has ever seen. It will be so powerful, so mighty, millions of angels will come with Jesus. Jesus said it will be like a flash of lightning. Look at this, verse 24. Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the Son of Man be. It'll happen so quickly. And blink of an eye, Jesus will be there. I remember as a child when I gave my life to Jesus. I used to sing a song, I wish we'd all been ready. Man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise. She turns her head. He's gone. Jesus will call his people into the sky. Two people will be in the field working. One will turn around and they've gone. Because Jesus will return and the people will go to be with Jesus. I don't want to be on an aeroplane when Jesus goes. Well, it won't bother me anyway because I'll be gone. If you don't know Jesus in an aeroplane and your pilot's a Christian, you're in trouble. I tell you. If you... 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end. He delivers the kingdom of God the Father and he puts an end to the rule of all authority and power. History will come to a close as we know it. It will never be the same again when Jesus returns. Never. History as we know it will come to an end. And when Jesus returns, it won't be just defined just for Christians. It's not an all Christians club. Everybody will see Jesus. Absolutely everybody. All mankind will be affected by this return. Let's look at Matthew 24, 36 to 44. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Do you know who knows when Jesus will return? God the Father and God the Son. Jesus knows now, but he wasn't told before. No one knows. The angels don't know. This pastor doesn't know. The elders of this church do not know. And if anyone tells them and tells you Jesus is coming on Friday at 5 o'clock, they don't know. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of man. For in the days of Noah before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, say therefore. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you must be. What do you need to be? Because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect. Church, wake up. Get your lamps ready with the oil. Don't go trying looking for shopping for oil, because the Son of Man will come and you'll blink and you're gone. Do you know what I'm saying, church? Some of you think, I don't really know what you're saying. That's okay. I'm talking to the people that do know. Give my oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. Keep it ready. What if Jesus was to come just after our play this evening? See, one thing Jesus is, on his job description, he's a completer finisher. If you want to know what he's like, he's a completer finisher. He's a visionary. In fact, he's everything that probably most of us aren't. If he says he's going to do something, it's going to happen. He's going to complete the work. He hasn't finished the work. This is why he will return again. And what he will do, he will take all his enemies and they will be at his footstool. And he will destroy completely sin in this world and death. And the devil will be defeated and sin and death will be removed from his presence. Because they will not be able to stand in the presence of the living God. Jesus has defeated death and he will set a new order in place where he will rule with a rod of iron. Some of you in this room, because of your faithfulness, some of you may give your life for Jesus. Some martyrs who have given their life to you will be in charge of cities and nations and hundreds and thousands of people. And Jesus will rule through those people that are faithful to him in the new order. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. He will defeat death and we will live forever. Forever. This life is temporary. Do you know what? The rewards for us if we follow Jesus are out of this world. Do you know what I mean? If you try and get the rewards for this earth today, you're going to be disappointed. You're not going to get the job. You're never going to be happy with the money you earn. You're never going to be happy with this, that or the other. My father was never happy with what he had. He always had to have something more. You'll never be happy. So resolve in your heart today, I want to be happy for eternity, not just for a few years. But the thing that frightens me the most of all that we're going to see, and it does frighten me, is that every one of us will stand in front of Jesus as our judge. Because he said he will be the judge of this world. Now, it doesn't mean we'll be judged like those people that reject Jesus, but we all have to give an account for our lives. 2 Timothy 4:1-2, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearance and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Listen, church, we're going to say it together. Can we put the next verse up, please? Let's say it together. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. He's not talking to Pastor Robin and Pastor Emmanuel and Pastor Andrew with Preach the Word. He's talking to you. Get your finger, he says, talking to me now. Talking to me. You're called to preach the word. You're called to go into all the world. You're called to share who Jesus is. I'm going to try and help you. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to preach the best I can preach for you. But you are called to preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season to correct people, to rebuke people and to encourage people with great patience. That's why I never became a doctor. I didn't have any patience. You've got to be patient with people. You've got to be patient with people. Do not lose your temper with people. Just be kind. God will bring them at the right time. Be patient and be careful what you say to people. And look how you live your life, because they're going to read how you live your life more than the words that you say. And do you know why people are going to get saved? Because you're going to be different and I'm going to be different. You won't even have to open your mouth. I go, something about you, Josephine. You're a lovely girl. Why are you so nice? Why are you so kind to people? When Lydia went on the streets, how many people got saved in Birmingham? 52 people got saved in Birmingham. Lydia went out on a mission team. They probably looked at her and thought, beautiful girl. Some of the lads went to speak to her. She opens her mouth and she tells them about Jesus and go, wow, what do I need to do to be saved? This is the time, guys. I've nearly finished. We will all stand in front of Jesus. There are no passes. There's no free pass. There's not a lottery to you and you don't have to stand in front of Jesus. You will. It will be the most terrible and awesome time that you do that. Because everything that we do that's not dealt with will be revealed. And I tell you what, if there are thousands of people in a room, I don't want them to know what I've done. Do you? Do you? Do you want your, like, on a big screen? Whoa, I'm so embarrassed. It doesn't have to be that way. If you have Jesus to forgive your sins when it comes on the screen. If on that morning Jesus returns, let's say at 9 o'clock, you're in your prayer time and say, Lord, forgive me for all the things I've done today. And he comes at 9:05. Do you know what? That screen's going to be pretty blank. Because he's good like that. That's what he does. So Jesus says, we don't know what the exact time of his return, but there are clear signs. This is what it says in Mark 13:7-8. When you hear of wars and rumours of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. The end hasn't come yet. We're seeing wars. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. The whole earth is groaning, waiting for Jesus. The earthquakes are a sign Jesus is coming back. The whole earth knows. The very stones know Jesus is coming back, but we're a bit thick. He's only given it to us 250 times so that we'll get it. Does that make sense? These are birth pains. The earth is telling us Jesus is coming. There'll be disturbances in the natural order. Mark 13:8. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. And there's something that we're all looking forward to as Christians, isn't there? Worldwide persecution. Christians are going to be persecuted for the faith. They're going to be hated. Jesus was hated, you know, because he healed the sick. He raised the dead. The religious people of the day hated Jesus because he showed them up. And I'm going to tell you, as you go into the world, there will be some people that do not like you. There will some people will look at you and go, oh, you stupid person, what on earth do you believe in Jesus for? They'll mock you. They'll laugh in your face. They might even spit in your face. I've had that happen. We were doing an open air some time ago and I was up at St. Stephen's and I was talking that Jesus loves people and then this guy came up to me and he stood right in my face. And I put up with it about for 3 or 4 minutes, to be honest. And I kept turning, he kept following me. I said, do you believe in the Bible? He says, no. I said, in the Bible it says, the wringing of the nose draweth blood. If you don't get out of my face, I'm going to show you this Bible is real. But you will have it. You will be persecuted because of who you are. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The one who stands firm. Holly, he's fine, love. He's okay. the one who stands firm. We love children here. Children are very important to us. Come on. Come on, come up here. Come on.
Oh, my back. Oh.
This is a miracle baby. You see? Scars. He's got to have a good scar, haven't you? If you're going to have an operation. Major brain surgery is home within 3 days, 4 days. This is God. This is the miracle working God. Aren't you a miracle? Say yes. Say yes. In this church, we love people. If you wanted to join us, come and join us. Come and join a whole group of heavy babies. That's it, then. We're preaching. In this church, we love people. We love children. Children are a very important part of our church. If you've got children and they make a noise, it does not matter. They want to be part of this church. Let them. If they make a noise next to you, don't look at them and complain. Bless them. Like Jesus would do. We want so many kids in here, Asher, that all the grown-ups are going to have to keep putting their hands on them, blessing them. You're doing a fantastic job. In fact, stand up. All Sunday school teachers, stand up. Youth workers, stand up in this room. If you work with children or young people, take a good look because you're going to be joining them. Father, we pray your amazing grace and blessing upon them. They're teaching our kids. They're showing the love of Jesus to children. And Lord, we pray for more children. Lord, we pray there won't be enough seats. Everyone have to sit on the floor like we did with our old building before we moved. We pray for more little boys like this. In Jesus' name. Thank you guys for what you're doing. Can we put... Yay! You know this is all about you, don't you? Fran, can we put the picture up of the tomb? Hopefully. Beautiful. I said to you earlier on, what does this tomb mean for you? What does the empty tomb mean for you? The picture's at the back if you can't see it there. What it means to me is this, that Jesus said he was going to be raised from the dead, and he was. What it means to me is that all that put their faith in Jesus have a hope and a future. Because Jesus says, I'm coming back. I want you to be ready. I've given everything I can. And it might be he's just waiting for you right now. You might be the one person in history that he's waiting to say, I want to follow you, Jesus. And then he'll return. I'm going to say it's not quite ready yet. Because there's things in the Bible that we've got to see. But we close. Some of you younger people may see Jesus return. I might not. Hope I do. But I think your generation will. I think they will. Could be wrong. But I think you'll see it. What the tomb tells us is this. We mean to be ready for when he returns. Because if you're not in the ark, you're in trouble. And I don't want to scare you or frighten you, but I have to tell you the truth. This is my job. God has said, tell them. So I'm telling you. I'm telling you because I love you. I'm telling you because you're precious to God and he does not want one person in this world to perish. It's going to break his heart if you're not in the ark. It's going to break his heart. It's going to break his heart to look at people in the face and say, I loved you so much, but you would not listen. How I long to gather you like a mother hen wants to gather her chicks, but you would not. Please don't be like the ones that said, I won't. So today, I'm going to offer you the best invitation you can ever have in life. Ever. You will never get a better invitation than this. The invitation I'm giving you is this, from the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I love you. I died for you. I rose from the dead for you. I'm at the right hand of the Father today. And right now, I'm praying for you. What will you do? Will you say yes, if you don't know him? Or will you continue eating and drinking and working? And when he returns, people around you will be gone. And you'll be left behind. Every person in this room, no matter how old you are. I gave my life to Jesus when I was a child. Esther gave her life to Jesus when she was 7. We don't look back. We don't need to look back. We're looking forward. You don't have to wait until you're good looking and handsome like this little boy. What you need to do is make the decision today. I wasn't going to say this, but I remember, Brian, do you remember we were at church one day? And do you want to go to Mum? Because you're getting heavy. Well done. I don't know if you remember, Brian, that we had an evangelistic Sunday evening service. Remember when we used to do Sunday evenings? Sunday evening services, wow. The good old days. We've got one tonight. It's a drama. Come along. I can't remember who preached, Brian, but there was a lad that came in on his motorbike. Do you remember? Came in his leathers, well, sort of leathers. Came in with all his gear. He heard the gospel message. It was a great gospel message. Brilliant preacher. We spoke to him. There wasn't many of us in the church then. The Assemblies of God. Any old gospel. And I better not say that tonight, had I? Be in trouble. And he didn't give his life to Jesus, and he said, oh, no, I'll do it another day. And he got on his motorbike and he went down the road and he died on his motorbike. I don't know if he had the opportunity to give his life to Jesus in those last few minutes, because God is gracious, but you can't guarantee the future. I know I've been very strong with this message, but I want to tell you, please make a good choice today. I'm going to give you the opportunity now. I'm going to ask everybody in the room just to close their eyes, please. None of us know how much longer we have. I might not be here tomorrow. You might not be here tomorrow. I pray that you are, and I pray that you'll live a good life, and it'll be good for you, but you don't know. So I'm going to ask you to be brave, because this is a life-changing moment for you. And you may be watching at home right now or later on our live stream. Would you make a choice today to follow Jesus? Some of you younger ones in this room, I tell you, if you give your life to Jesus now, we'll change everything for you. You don't have to go through rubbish in your life because you don't know him. If you want to do that in this room today, would you raise your hands so that I can see it? And I want to pray for you. If you're at home today, there's an online people on chat, and you can connect with them. I think John, is it John on today? Diane's on the back. She'll chat with you. Is there anybody in this room that wants to give their life to Jesus today? Would you place your hands up in the air? This is your choice. This is your opportunity. Please don't let it go by. Don't let this be a day that you miss. And look one more time. Father, I thank you for the hands that I see now. I pray, Lord, that this will be one of many that we'll see over Easter. And I pray you will call them to your side, that they will know you in Jesus' name. Amen.